One of my oldest memories is this image of reaching up to take the hands of two boys, one on either side of me. And that's it. That's all I remember, just that image of reaching up. And yet somehow I've always known that those boys were teaching me how to walk. Now, when I was growing up as one of three kids, the oldest in a family in Indiana, I used to wonder who those boys were because I was the oldest and I didn't have any older cousins who looked like the boys in my memory. And, you know, I would think about this and I finally concluded they must be neighbors. Because I had asked my parents and, you know, nothing. They wouldn't answer me. It was one of many things when I was growing up that my parents just wouldn't talk about. Like, for example, the fact that we had two last names. At home, at school, with my friends growing up, my name was Lisa Hooker. Think about it. That was my real name. It was the name on my birth certificate, Lisa Hooker. But sometimes I became someone else. I became Lisa Jackson, like when I was 13, and on Valentine's Day, I went roller skating with my best friend, and I fell and broke my leg in three places and had to go to the hospital. When I got there, there was my dad telling the doctors that my name was Lisa Jackson. I will never forget lying on a stretcher in the emergency room with my leg killing me, and I'm throwing up from the pain, and my dad is next to me, and he's wiping my mouth, and he's coaching me to remember that my name is Lisa Jackson. I realized there was something weird going on. I used to wonder, like, maybe, you know, my dad was a spy, or maybe, you know, he was an ex-mafia guy, and, you know, we were all part of the witness protection program. But no. I finally, you know, had the truth come out when I was 18 years old and I was sitting with my dad at the kitchen table. It was a senior year of high school and it was spring and I was just about to graduate and go off to college, and my dad and I have this rare moment alone. We're sitting there together and, you know, drinking coffee, and he turns to me like he's going to say, pass the salt, and he says, I have something I want to tell you and you can't tell anyone ever, especially not your mom, your sister, or your brother. I say, okay. And he says to me, I was married before your mother. Three times. I'm like, okay. He says, with wife number one, he had two sons, Clayton Jr., because Clayton was my dad's first name at home. He had another name, Robert, when he was at work or when he was with the neighbors or my teachers or pretty much everybody else in the world. So we had Clayton Hooker and we had Robert Jackson, and I had to keep these names straight growing up. So he had these sons with wife number one, Clayton Jr. and Jim. And then with wife number three, he had another son named David. Somehow he didn't have any children with wife number two in there. And he's going on and he's telling me that these sons have grown up and they're actually adults now and they have children of their own and I have nieces and nephews. And I'm hearing this click in my head and I said, wait. Does this have anything to do with the fact that we have two different last names? And he said, yes. And then he tells another long, convoluted story about how, well, wife number one, after he left her, just kept on having children. That's how he put it. She kept on having children. They just happened. And she kept naming him as the biological father. And then wife number three did the same thing. She kept on having children after he left her, even after he married my mother and had me. And she also claimed that he was the biological father. And so both of these wives were wanting child support. And so what did my father do? Did he pay the child support? Did he go to court and try to prove that all of these little hookers who were running around were not actually his? No. My father picked door number three, which was to change his name, change all of our names, falsify a boatload of paperwork, and run away. Now, he told me this, and I'm thinking, okay, at last the big family secret is out. But there was more. Because it turned out that not only had he, you know, done all of this and, you know, basically screwed our names up forever, but although he abandoned his sons, eventually they grew up. And when they were old enough to drive, They tracked him down. You see, everyone else in the rest of the family didn't change their names, and we had an uncle who lived like 5 miles away, and he had kept his original name, so it wasn't exactly that hard to find the uncle, and, you know, if you watch the house long enough, my dad showed up. And so for years, these sons of his had been visiting him secretly at my uncle's. But of course, they had been forbidden to come to our house or have any contact with me or my younger sister or brother. And after my father tells me this whole story, the happy ending is that I am now forbidden to have anything to do with them ever. I can know about them, but I can't ever know them. And I'm sitting there, and I'm 18 years old, and I'm a good little girl, and I'm thinking, fuck that. Fuck that. You have to understand something. I loved my dad. And my dad, out of all 6 children that I think were actually his, adored me. I was his princess. I was the one child that, you know, he never did anything wrong to if he could help it. He told me he loved me every single day of his life. But I realize as I'm sitting there across the table from this man that I absolutely adore, that there are several things that are brand new in our relationship. First of all, I realize my parents are big fat liars. And number 2, I am not the oldest child, and I have never been. Number 3, I am not going to have the first grandchild the way I've always dreamed because there are already a passel of them running around. Number 4, who the hell really knows what my name is at this point? And did I mention that my parents were big fat liars? So, because I loved my dad, I'm in shock at this point. And I'm thinking it's a really good thing that I'm going off to college. And that's what I did. I pretty much shut up, like my dad told me to do, went off to college, and brooded and thought about it. And it took me 2 years to work up the guts to actually get my mom to come down to where I was going to school, take her out, get her drunk, and tell her this story and ask her about her side of it. And the night that we're sitting there over this really big jug of bad wine, she tells me 2 things. First thing is this, that, surprise, she was pregnant with me in high school before she married my dad. And when she told him, he told her that he would give her $500 if she would go away and never mention it again. This from the father that adored me. And the second thing she told me was that she didn't really like his answer very much. And so she went home, and she told her dad, and she told her 12 brothers and sisters, and her big brothers basically got their shotguns out and marched my dad to the altar. Now, about this point, after I heard this part of our lovely family history, I decided enough was enough. And so I decided to arrange a little family reunion. I tracked down my big brothers, Clayton and Jim, in Michigan. I went to my younger brother and sister and told them all of the stuff. They were really not happy with me for having kept it secret for 2 years. And then I got us all together one July week at a lake in Indiana. We were all camping together, one great, big, happy, dysfunctional family. You have to imagine it. There's my younger brother and sister who aren't speaking to me for keeping this secret. There's my mother, who isn't really related to any of these people. There are my older brothers and their wives and their children, who are basically strangers to the rest of us. And there's my dad, sitting in a lawn chair, scowling at all of us, really unhappy with this whole process. The one person who wasn't there was that third brother, David, because none of us could find him, and my dad wasn't telling where he was. And we're all together, and we're trying to pretend to be a family, and it's taking an awful lot of alcohol. But after a day or two, we manage. And, you know, pretty soon my big brothers are teaching me how to fish, and my brand new nieces and nephews are helping me wash my car, and we're all so happy except my dad. And we can't figure it out, but we say, what the heck? And then a few months later, after we've all become this family, my dad died. He had a heart attack and passed away suddenly. And at his funeral, David, the one brother that none of us have met, showed up. And finally, when he told us his story, my dad's lifelong crazy paranoia finally made sense. You see, we're sitting there after the funeral, and David tells us a little detail. He tells us the date that his parents got divorced, 1964. And I thought, no, 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 that can't be. You see, my parents got married in 1962. I was born in 1963. There's no way your parents didn't get divorced till 1964. Except he was sure, and he'd seen the divorce decree. Turned out our dad was a bigamist, at least on paper and definitely in his own mind. He had spent his entire life terrified that if all of his kids got together, he would get caught. So we were all sitting there together, and there's my mom, and, you know, she's more in shock than anybody at this point because this is news to her. And I turned to her and I said, you know, did you think that Dad was really so scared after all these years of going to prison? And my mom shook her head and said, no, I don't think he was afraid of going to prison. I think he knew that if my family found out what he had done, my brothers would have shot him. I found out one more family secret that night, which just incidentally was 15 years ago tonight that my father's funeral was held. And I think that my father at this point would probably be happy that the secret finally came out. You see, I was sitting there with my new brothers and my old brother and sister and my mom, and Clayton Jr. turns to my mom and says, do you remember when we lived with you? And my mom looked at him and said, sure. And I said, what are you talking about? And he said to me, well, right after you were born, our mom sent us to live with your mom and our dad for a few months, maybe almost a year. And he said, you know, it was the only time we ever saw you until now. And you probably don't remember this because you were just a baby. But we taught you how to walk.